Blog Talk Radio. There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
I figured out who the neighbor around the corner is.
Oh, yeah?
I like him a lot.
Ooh. He lets me talk as much as I want, is very simple, and has great plans.
Okay, I have to meet him.
Sure. Say hi. This is Metro PCS.
Metro PCS is in your neighborhood. Come say hi and get unlimited data, talk, and text for only $30, period. All on the fast nationwide 4G LTE T-Mobile network. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figure it out.
Coverage not available in some areas. 1 gigabyte of high-speed data included. See store for details, terms, and conditions, and data management info.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation G. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start-to-finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. We believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations, past, present, and future. We honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. We establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship from time to time without any music, for we never want our church to get caught up with the method and miss the message. Blog Talk Radio. Y'all ready to have church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody say, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just to a few moments to the book of Deuteronomy, the second chapter, and I'm going to begin reading at the 16th verse. If you're with me, say amen. And the word of the Lord reads as thus, so it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, thou art to pass over through Ar, through the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them. For I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That's enough. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but there's something very striking about this text, especially around verse 16. Let me read it to you again, for the text says, "Now when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, and then the Lord said unto me, Today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar." Now maybe you didn't find that significant, but what I suspect that the thing that draws my attention is that stuff started happening when people started dying. Somebody gonna pray for me. In other words, the victory didn't come until the Bible says that the last of these fighting men died. Now maybe you didn't catch it yet, but what I'm trying to figure out is, how could they win a war when all the fighting men were dead? Symbolic to when our Lord and Savior was hung on the cross. The devil thought he had us, didn't he? He thought we were finished. However, stuff started happening when Jesus was dying. I'll prove it to you. I got some Bible to back it up. When Jesus was dying, the sun got dark when it was created for light. In other words, the sun said, "Listen, I take my orders from the S-O-N, and I don't hear him saying a mumbling word. I'm going to shut it down." And then they tell me the moon looked like a ball of fire, rolling as if it didn't know what to do. The sky got dark and the stars were confused, to the place that men and beasts were terrified. And even the thief asked the dying man to remember me. I told y'all, stuff started happening. But the text says, after all the fighting men had died, all the fighters, all the brawlers, then the Lord said, "Now it's time for you to get the victory." Stick with me. I'm going somewhere with this. If you will, please repeat after me. Somebody said, "There's victory after death." Say it again. "There's victory after death." I am convinced, without a doubt in my mind, that there are some things in our lives that must die before we can reach certain victories in our lives. Now, I dare not want y'all to think I'm morbid or even gloomy or grim, but I do want you to understand there are some places and some levels in God that we, the people of the Most High God, can only experience after some things in our lives literally die. Now, y'all can call an undertaker if you want to. But I want you to know I read it for myself without a doubt in my mind. Isaiah said, "It was then I saw the Lord high and lifted up." Do I have a praying church? Now, I don't want you to get caught up in the whole idea of death as in someone laying in a casket, but I do want you to go just a little bit deeper and understand that there's really more than one kind of death. As a matter of fact, I really want you to focus on the principle of what death means and not the actual body of one laying in the front of the church. As a matter of fact, when I think of death, there's three things that come to mind, and I'd like to share them with you today in hopes of preparing you for what's in this text. Somebody say number one. Number one, when I think about death, I think about something no longer being around. And really, I want to help somebody this morning, because I would suggest to you that sometimes you would be better off if some stuff was no longer around in your life. Now, I didn't want to mess with you too bad this morning, and I didn't want to really bother you this early in the morning, but I do want to help somebody to know that there must be a removal of some things in your life before you can truly experience victory in God. Somebody say number two. Number two, not only does death mean to me something is no longer around, but it also means to me it ceases to exist the way it once existed in your life, which means it no longer means what it used to mean to you. Now, I know that's a tongue twister. Let me try to say it this way. I want you to understand that there's some time that some stuff must lose its meaning to you in a way, because some have the tendency to mean more to us than God, or at least we act like it because we don't have no problem putting it before God. Somebody say, ouch. As a matter of fact, I got some Bible to back it up. Listen, the Word of God says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto you." And so it's plain to us this morning that one of the things that death does for us is to set in place what's really important in our lives. Now, I want you to know and be very clear about it and honest that when you lost some stuff in your life, you begin to restructure and reorder what was important to you. And if you're really, really honest this morning, it wasn't until you lost and some stuff lost its structure and place in your life that you really figured out what was really important in your life. Somebody said number three. Number three, and I'm going to move this train. Not only does death mean to me no longer around and ceases to exist, it also means something changes or transition. In other words, how you relate to something changes or moves to another place. But if someone dies, it does not mean they have died in my memory, but it means they have died or changed in the sense to the way I would and used to relate to them. And so instead of me relating to them in the physical, it is then that I recognize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so now that my relationship with them is, I look forward to seeing them again when I too shall transition from mortal to immortality. I got to move this train, but there's no doubt in my mind. I stopped by this morning to tell you that this concept of death is very important if you're going to understand the reality of where God is trying to get you to. I'll say it again. If you're going to get where God wants you to be and experience victory in your life, there are some things that are no longer needed in your life. And if you don't get a chance to get rid of them, they will get rid of you. And again, some things cannot exist the same way. And again, some stuff you need to alter how you relate to it. I'm ready to preach now and center of this discussion and everything I have already said about death, because you will find it in the text. Oh, it's in the book. I want to be very clear and focused about it, because by the time we get to the book of Deuteronomy, we find out that this is really entitled the second law. This is the book that Moses writes when he's on his way off the scene, right before he's about to release the people into the hands of Joshua. He takes time to help them to go over what the Lord has brought them through. Yes, sir. Every now and again, we need a refreshing course, because it is a due fact that if you're going to arrive to the destination ordered by God, we can never forget the bridge that brought you over. I feel like preaching. I'll say it again. Don't you ever forget the bridge that brought you over. I will suggest to you that if you're going to get to the next level that God is calling you to, don't ever forget the bridge that brought you over. Because I realize it was so challenging to remember the bumps and the bruises and the pain. However, I stopped by this morning to encourage somebody and let them know that the same principles that brought you through before are the same principles you will need to bring you through again. I understand that the old stuff made you pray, but it's time, don't wait so long, because his ear is not too heavy that he can't hear your prayers, nor his arms too short that he can't touch the infirmities of his children. I know the last time you told Lolly Dolly and everybody, but now you got some experience underneath your belt, and you can testify that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I know the last time you went in with your head down, but this time go in with your head up, knowing that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Listen, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. I got to close, but I just wanted to remind you never to forget where the Lord has brought you from. For you have to learn from your failures, you have to learn from your mistakes, and you have to learn from your trials in this life so you will be prepared to go to the next level in life. Listen, you got me once, and that's shame on you. But if you get me twice, that's shame on me, because I've learned something from where I came from. Somebody say glory to God. Now Moses Moses sit down and he talks to them, for he wants this new generation to understand where it is that God has brought them. And when we get to chapter 2, there he is really dealing with the why and how it is that they were wandering in the desert and how God brought them through the Red Sea. And then after God delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians, they had the nerve to still not trust God, which led them to the wilderness journey and mentality. Oh, you all remember, don't you? God told them to walk into the promised land, but they would not walk, and because of that, God said, I'm going to let all in this generation that will not trust me, that will believe in me and have confidence in me, die off. And then I'll let the next generation walk into what folks who had no faith would not. You need to look at somebody and tell them, I ain't going to miss this one. Mm-hmm. I ain't going to miss this one. I've been waiting too long, and I've been holding on to God's unchanging hand, and I just believe God. If God said I can do it, then I can do it. Come on now. If God said I can have it, then I can have it. If God said I'm going to see it, then I'm going to see it. Mm-hmm. If God said go through the door, then I'm walking through the door. So by the time we really look at their wandering in the wilderness, notice what the text says in verse 16. It says, after, good God Almighty, all the fighting folks had died. I'm trying to close, y'all. I'm trying to close. But I still got a problem with this text. Because remember when God first came to them, he said, I've got a promised land for you. But the suggestion is that as God had promised the land for them, if you read verse 16, it suggests that they had some fighters in the bunch. Mm-hmm. They had some folks that didn't mind throwing rocks knowing they lived in glass houses. They had some folks that could put their money where their mouth was. Mm-hmm. Which means to me, when they first got started, they had what they needed to get to the promised land. They had enough starters. They had enough praying folks. They had enough faith. They had enough ushers. They had enough choir members. Somebody talk back to me, but the text is still messing with me, y'all, because when God makes a vision, when he makes a vision real, to Moses, at least I would think Moses would have some help by the way, a resource at his fingertips. But now, when we get to verse 16, the text says he doesn't start moving until everybody that was a fighter died. Good God Almighty, I'm trying to close. Now, before I scare y'all for real, listen here. I need y'all to know something of the background of the text. Because remember when God had come to the people of God and said to them, here is the promised land. And when they came down to it, all the fighting folks, instead of fighting, they pumped out. Mm-hmm. Oh, you all know the story. They said that we sent 12 spies to the promised land, and we brought back evidence, and they all said and agreed in one accord, yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yes, they got it going on. Yes, it's tight and just right. But they said we can't do it. Now, it seems like to me, if fighting is your possession and your profession, can't do it should never be in your vocabulary. And I stopped by this morning to tell you, we got some can't do it Christians in here today. Mm-hmm. Some is listening to me right now, selling wolf tickets that you can't cash. And I stopped by to tell you, if you're going to live right, stop talking it and live it. Mm-hmm. If you're going to pray right, stop praying and telling everybody else about their problems and get down on your knees and start praying for yourself. I want to let you know if you're going to help the preacher, male and female, stop talking about it. Roll up your sleeves and begin to work in the gospel plow. If you claim you've been resurrected and you have been changed and act like everything has changed in your life. Let me try to close. And so all the so-called fighters, they are the same one in verse 16. Supposed to be fighters and came back and said, we can't do it. And they look like giants and they're too big for us. And they would not fight. But I believe the word of the Lord will speak to us on this Sunday morning. And I believe these are the instructions that our Heavenly Father have given unto me to give to you. And I hear the Lord saying, I've got a land for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't want y'all to be anxious. And I don't want you to be uptight. Because first of all, even when you think you're not a fighter, you're now going to become one. But the difference now is that you're not going to fight in the natural, but you're going to fight in the spiritual. Mm-hmm. And when God gives you power, don't sit around and start making excuses and apologizing for being blessed. Don't sit around and apologize for being highly favored of God. Don't sit around and apologize for being anointed by the Most High God. And then the word now says to us, he gives them instructions, and he says, now go, because all the fighting folks have died, because they had no faith. And I want you to be clear today about this. If your fighting skills are not up to par, that's all right. Because your faith and belief in God will get you to the next level in God. All you got to do is believe God, because he is able. I hear the word of the Lord saying, I'm going to send you into a land. And where you're going, you're going to pass some folks along the way. But I hear the Lord saying, don't war with them, because they're not the target, and they're not the enemy. Mm-hmm. When you sit next to your brother and sister in church this morning, don't war with them, because they're not the target. The people you left at home, they're not the target. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness, against the wickedness in high places. Listen, don't get the wrong target, because somebody that you made a target just might be the one that has gotten a promise from God too. Because the word says, en route to their destination, they passed by the descendants of Lot. And God said, don't you mess with them. And then they passed by Esau people. And God said, don't you mess with them. And then I stopped by early this morning to tell you, on my way from earth to glory, glory to God, don't y'all mess with me, because I do belong to the Most High God. And a promise is a promise. He promised that no man take his life, but he got the power to lay it down and pick it back up again. He promised I can do all things through him that gives me the strength. He promised that I'm the head and not the tail. He promised that I will be the lender and not the borrower. He promised, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because he lives, all my fears are gone. And I know who holds the future. Listen, I just stopped by to encourage you and let you know, if you want what the Lord has promised unto you, you got to let some things die. You're going to have to let them go. You're going to have to leave them alone. You're going to have to shake it off, because there's a victory after death. Listen, if you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, let me introduce to some and present to others, his name is Jesus. He died on the cross of Calvary that you and I might have a right to the tree of life. All you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Come on and repeat after me. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Wash me in your blood. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and save my soul. Now, if I've given you 100, 50, 1,000, or a million, you'll be jumping up and down and clapping your hands. And I just offer you something that money can never purchase or buy. I've given you eternal and everlasting life. You ought to clap your hands and tell them thank you right there. And then begin to look for a church home, not only preaching the word of God, but also practicing it. Now listen, Blog Talk Radio, until next Sunday morning, just a few moments with the preacher. May the Lord God bless you real good.
Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Bye.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation G. Praise the Lord, everybody. Give honor to God who was first in my life and to the Spirit of God that abides in this early Sunday morning service. I bring you greetings from the Generation Baptist Church, Generation, G-E-N-E-L-A-T-I-O-N. Generation means we have a start to finish ministry given by God, exposing the Alpha and Omega. We believe the Lord has sent us to the kingdom for such a time as this to minister to generations, past, present, and future. We honor the past by singing hymns and anthems on a continual basis to never forget the songs that brought our forefathers and mothers over. We establish the present by appointing junior ushers, junior deacons, and junior trustees, training them in the fear of the Lord and treating them like the church of today and tomorrow, because when I'm gone, the church is supposed to keep on rolling on. Our future is edifying to the Almighty God by singing praise and worship from time to time without any music, for we never want our church to get caught up with the method and miss the message. Fly Talk Radio, y'all ready to have church? For those of you that brought your Bibles, it is the only weapon we have that will put the devil, somebody say, in his place. It is the only weapon we have that will give you and I the right to eternal and everlasting, somebody said, life. It is the only weapon we have that the thieves can't steal, the robbers can't take, and the police can't arrest. Somebody said, that's the word of God. I want to turn your attention just to a few moments to the book of Deuteronomy, the second chapter. And I'm going to begin reading at the 16th verse. If you're with me, say amen. And the word of the Lord reads as thus: So it came to pass, when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spake unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, through the coast of Moab, this day. And when thou comest nigh over against the children of Ammon, distress them not, nor meddle with them, for I will not give thee of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it unto the children of Lot for a possession. That's enough. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but there's something very striking about this text, especially around verse 16. Let me read it to you again, for the text says, Now when the last of these fighting men among the people had died, and then the Lord said unto me, Today you are to pass by the region of Moab at Ar. Now maybe you didn't find that significant, but what I suspect that the thing that draws my attention is that stuff started happening when people started dying. Somebody gonna pray for me. In other words, the victory didn't come until the Bible says that the last of these fighting men died. Now, maybe you didn't catch it yet, but what I'm trying to figure out is how could they win a war when all the fighting men were dead? Symbolic to when our Lord and Savior was hung on the cross. The devil thought he had us, didn't he? He thought we were finished. However, stuff started happening when Jesus was dying. I'll prove it to you. I got some Bible to back it up. When Jesus was dying, the sun got dark when it was created for light. In other words, the sun said, Listen, I take my orders from the S-O-N, and I don't hear him saying a mumbling word. I'm going to shut it down. And then they tell me the moon looked like a ball of fire, rolling as if it didn't know what to do. The sky got dark, and the stars were confused to the place that men and beasts were terrified, and even the thief asked the dying man to remember me. I told y'all, stuff started happening. But the text says, after all the fighting men had died, all the fighters, all the brawlers, then the Lord said, Now it's time for you to get the victory. Stick with me, I'm going somewhere with this. If you will, please repeat after me. Somebody said, There's victory after death. Say it again, there's victory after death. I am convinced, without a doubt in my mind, that there are some things in our lives that must die before we can reach certain victories in our lives. Mm-hmm. Now, I dare not want y'all to think I'm morbid or even gloomy or grim, but I do want you to understand there are some places and some levels in God that we, the people of the Most High God, can only experience after some things in our lives literally die. Now, y'all can call an undertaker if you want to, mm-hmm. But I want you to know I read it for myself without a doubt in my mind. Isaiah said it was then I saw the Lord high and lift it up. Do I have a praying church? Now, I don't want you to get caught up in the whole idea of death as in someone laying in a casket, but I do want you to go just a little bit deeper and understand that there's really more than one kind of death. As a matter of fact, I really want you to focus on the principle of what death means and not the actual body of one laying in the front of the church. As a matter of fact, when I think of death, there are three things that come to mind, and I'd like to share them with you today in hopes of preparing you for what's in this text. Somebody say number one. Mm-hmm. Number one, when I think about death, I think about something no longer being around, and really I want to help somebody this morning because I would suggest to you that sometimes you would be better off if some stuff was no longer around in your life. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't want to mess with you too bad this morning, and I didn't want to really bother you this early in the morning, but I do want to help somebody to know that there must be a removal of some things in your life before you can truly experience victory in God. Somebody say number two. Mm-hmm. Number two, not only does death mean to me something is no longer around, but it also means to me it ceases to exist the way it once existed in your life, which means it no longer means what it used to mean to you. Now, I know that's a tongue twister. Let me try to say it this way. I want you to understand that there's some time that some stuff must lose its meaning to you in a way, because some have the tendency to mean more to us than God, or at least we act like it because we don't have no problem putting it before God. Somebody say, ouch. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I got some Bible to back it up. Listen, the Word of God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all other things shall be added unto you. And so it's plain to us this morning that one of the things that death does for us is to set in place what's really important in our lives. Now, I want you to know and be very clear about it and honest that when you lost some stuff in your life, you begin to restructure and reorder what was important to you. And if you're really, really honest this morning, it wasn't until you lost and some stuff lost its structure and place in your life that you really figured out what was really important in your life. Somebody said number three. Mm-hmm. Number three, and I'm going to move this train. Not only does death mean to me no longer around and ceases to exist, it also means something changes or transitions. Mm-hmm. In other words, how you relate to something changes or moves to another place. But if someone dies, it does not mean they have died in my memory, but it means they have died or changed in the sense to the way I would and used to relate to them. And so instead of me relating to them in the physical, it is then that I recognize to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so now that my relationship with them is, I look forward to seeing them again when I too shall transition from mortal to immortality. I got to move this train, but there's no doubt in my mind I stopped by this morning to tell you that this concept of death is very important if you're going to understand the reality of where God is trying to get you to. I'll say it again. If you're going to get where God wants you to be and experience victory in your life, there are some things that are no longer needed in your life. And if you don't get a chance to get rid of them, they will get rid of you. And again, some things cannot exist the same way. And again, some stuff you need to alter how you relate to it. I'm ready to preach now and center of this discussion and everything I have already said about death, because you will find it in the text. Oh, it's in the book. I want to be very clear and focused about it, because by the time we get to the book of Deuteronomy, we find out that this is really entitled The Second Law. This is the book that Moses writes when he's on his way off the scene, right before he's about to release the people into the hands of Joshua. He takes time to help them to go over what the Lord has brought them through. Yes, sir. Every now and again, we need a refreshing course, because it is a due fact that if you're going to arrive to the destination ordered by God, we can never forget the bridge that brought you over. I feel like preaching. I'll say it again. Don't you ever forget the bridge that brought you over. I would suggest to you that if you're going to get to the next level that God is calling you to, don't ever forget the bridge that brought you over. Because I realize it was so challenging to remember the bumps and the bruises and the pain. However, I stopped by this morning to encourage somebody and let them know that the same principles that brought you through before are the same principles you will need to bring you through again. I understand that the old stuff made you pray, but it's time, don't wait so long, because it is not too heavy that he can't hear your prayers, nor his arms too short that he can't touch the infirmities of his children. I know the last time you told Lolly Dolly and everybody, but now you got some experience underneath your belt, and you can testify that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. I know the last time you went in with your head down, but this time go in with your head up, knowing that you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Listen, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I got to close, but I just wanted to remind you never to forget where the Lord has brought you from. For you have to learn from your failures, you have to learn from your mistakes, and you have to learn from your trials in this life, so you will be prepared to go to the next level in life. Listen, you got me once, and that's shame on you. But if you get me twice, that's shame on me, because I've learned something from where I came from. Somebody say glory to God. Now Moses sit down and he talks to them, for he wants this new generation to understand where it is that God has brought them. And when we get to chapter 2, there he is really dealing with the why and the how it is that they were wandering in the desert, and how God brought them through the Red Sea. And then after God delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians, they had the nerve to still not trust God, which led them to the wilderness journey and mentality. Oh, you all remember, don't you? God told them to walk into the promised land, but they would not walk, and because of that, God said, I'm going to let all in this generation that